Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8. And verse 1 there. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So just think of that. No condemnation. Have you ever had a bad dream like you were in trouble? I've had dreams before where I was pulled over by a police officer, and I can't even remember the specifics of what it was, but it's just sometimes it's so good to be able to wake up from a bad dream like that and just realize, oh, I'm not in trouble. Praise God. That's a good feeling to not be in trouble. So there's no condemnation to them which are what?
In Christ Jesus.
If you hold your place here, turn to me to John chapter 3. Pray for the different folks at the wedding as well. Pray for any that are not saved that, well, we pray that at the wedding they did get saved, if they were not, and that we would see some fruit, some evidence of that if they made a decision for Christ. But in John chapter 3 and in verse 16, and remember here, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He's talking to a religious leader. And so in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should what?
Not perish,
but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to what?
Condemn
the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is what?
Not condemned.
But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it's so good to be not condemned. And how, you know, in Romans 8, 1, it said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So when we get saved, we are in Christ, and we are not condemned, declared not condemned. Praise the Lord. And, you know, sometimes there are so many things in life going on that it's like we get over one thing, but we really don't appreciate it because there's so many other concerns. If you'd hold your place here in John 3 and turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Sometimes we have so much going that we don't even stop to enjoy what God has done and what he is doing. Last night when Sam and Holly left our place, I'm not sure what time it was, but it was actually fairly dark. But in the west, there was a break in the clouds and a little bit of color. And so she pulled out her phone and took a picture of that. And, you know, yesterday was kind of a busy day, wasn't it? Just a little bit. But she took the time to notice that it was a pretty spot over there in the sky and took a picture. And then she sent it to us when they were on the road going back home. And it's just so often in life there's so many concerns going on that we don't really stop to thank God and enjoy what he's done, because there's always continual needs. But we do need to stop and think. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4. Philippians 4, 4 says, rejoice in the Lord, what?
Always.
And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
Sometimes there's just so many things I had, so many needs, concerns, you know, trying to prepare ahead. And I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of like now, you know, gas is high. It's come down some. It's come down a good amount from the $5 mark anyway. But we could have the concern, well, but is it going to go back up? And, you know, inflation and groceries are a little higher now. And so, you know, maybe we get a good deal on something. But it's almost like, well, I can't take time to rejoice over this because everything else is so high, or it might go back up. Or, you know, at the beginning of summer, they were saying that there was going to be food shortages, you know, I assume by now, and that, you know, we wouldn't be able to get certain foods. And, you know, ever since the COVID thing, there's been in the grocery store a share of empty shelves of one thing or another. But it's like that. There's always that attitude or about, well, you better watch out because this bad thing, you know, has happened or something. And so we just fail to enjoy what God has done. You know, we should be enjoying, those of you who had gardens, we should be enjoying that, you know what, Michigan is not in a drought. You know, some other states are. Someone, I think, told me that Texas has had a drought this year. California is in a continual state of drought, and I believe directly because of the sin of just trying to push wicked, vile sins out there in that state. But so, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Do we just stop? You know, are we like the nine lepers, you know, who never came back? They were all healed, all 10 were healed, but nine never came back, just one. How often do we come back and thank God? Like with the parade yesterday, wasn't that a miracle? That we were actually, I believe, on the corner of Hillcrest and Cass Street, which is the official start of the parade. I think it was at right at 11 o'clock. I couldn't tell you how many years we've sat in the parking lot for a half hour before we even moved. But we were actually at the beginning of the parade. And was it quarter to 12 when we were headed back, I think, to the school? Or was it tore apart back then? I don't know. It was just miraculous what the Lord did. And so, you know, I just praise the Lord for what he did. He was the parade officials were so kind to us by bumping us up forward, and I didn't know how far they were going to bump us up, but it was way up. I don't think we've ever been that far forward. And just what a blessing. So many blessings yesterday. The wedding went well, and people got to hear the gospel, and we had enough room for everyone. And even though the storm came, the people taking care of the food seemed to do okay, I guess. Although I think Pastor Jeremy did say that they lost some of it when it started to rain, because they were set up. The guy who was here set up with the food, he was pretty convinced it was not going to rain. But the problem was, is between him and the clouds was the church building. And I saw some really dark clouds coming, and I thought, boy, it sure looks like rain. Well, and I think Pastor Jeremy did say he lost some of his food then, and so maybe that's what kind of held up things at first. I don't know. But just so many blessings. I don't think anyone went away hungry anyway, hopefully. So the Lord is so good. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for what?
Nothing.
For nothing but in what?
Everything
by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what?
Peace.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, so you get up in the morning, and are you worried about breakfast? Well, not really worried about it, but what if you ate breakfast and then you thought, but what about lunch?
Is there going to be any food for lunch? And, you know, why not rejoice in the good meal and trust the Lord? So the peace of God comes by committing everything to the Lord. So as we go back to John chapter 3, just to stop and ponder, I'm not condemned. I am in Christ. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So how often do we just stop and rejoice in what Christ has done for us? Probably not nearly often enough. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 9, and just stop and think about what things God delights in. I know my dad would give me a good lesson of that, to stop and enjoy things. Oftentimes when we would go to work, my dad would like to come home a variety of ways to see the scenery, whereas me, usually it was like, work is done. I'm not looking at the scenery. I'm just, you know, headed home. I'm not really enjoying the trip. But in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in what? His wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in what?
His might.
His might. Let not the rich man glory in what?
His riches.
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and what?
Knoweth me.
How long has it been since we have just stopped and enjoyed the fact that we know him? As Brother Steve mentioned in his prayer yesterday, just seeing the people along the parade route that do not know him. And I'm not saying it was an unfriendly crowd. I saw some young ladies. Well, I really wouldn't call them ladies, but they were mocking us. But I mean, you just look at the way they looked, and you know they're not happy. They're not happy, and so you know I understand. But probably about three quarters of the way through the parade, I just the tears just started flowing, and I just thought, Lord, these people need you. They need you. They're condemned, and they need you. Lord, send us a great awakening. Send us a great revival. And, well, if you still have some fingers to hold a place, it makes me think of, we're going back here to Jeremiah, but in Psalm, and, Psalm chapter 126, Psalm 126, and verse 4, Psalm 126, 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in what? Tears shall reap in what? Joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I don't know if it was because of the Lord or the message or on the float or what they were hearing, but I saw more than one person yesterday wiping their eyes. And I just thought, Lord, if only we could just see hearts breaking over their sin and turning to the Lord. What a wonderful thing that would be. When we got back to the high school, there was a man, we stopped, and then I walked to go get my vehicle and drive it over by the float, and a man intercepted me on that path, and I knew who he was. And he says, He's a businessman in town here, and he says, I just want you to know What a blessing it is that you are out here in these parades. And he was just visibly moved. And I've talked to him about the Lord often. But he was so moved, he couldn't even look up at me when he was talking to me. It was just, I mean, he'd look up every once in a while, but then he would look down. And God had gripped his heart. It was just another confirmation, you know, that God is working in hearts. And so many times, you know, we can't see what all is going on in the background. It's kind of like, you know, when the prophet's servant came out in the morning and he saw they were surrounded, the city was surrounded by the enemy. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. Because he said, Master, how shall we do? Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the hills around them were filled with angels ready to come to help them. And there's just so much we can't see that's going on. And that's the thing about walking by faith. Brother Jared prayed that the other night, just about walking by faith. And it is so true. And so as we go forth and sow in tears, one day we will reap in joy. But back to Jeremiah 9. You know, it's so exciting to have power. Someone at the wedding yesterday drove a blue Corvette. Did anyone see that car? Okay. Yeah, it was pretty nice. And I don't think I got introduced to whoever drove it, but when I was walking back here, the guy who owned it took off with it, you know. And so power, it can be kind of an awesome thing, you know, whether it's like fireworks, you know, who likes the little fireworks that go pop, pop, you know, it's, we like the ones that go up and just boom and rattle the windows, you know, and of course, you know, many times they kind of cheat on those, they get them in this area that are a little bigger, you know, than they're supposed to be, but we've been down to Grand Rapids handing out gospel tracts on the 4th of July, and that grand finale, I remember one year we were out on the bridge watching it, and I mean, you could just feel the bridge vibrate with all the terrific booms going on. We delight in power, but in verse 23 there, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. How many times are we not content in just knowing him? You know, we want this power, or we want this wisdom, or we want this money. Then, of course, we're thinking, oh, I could do it all for you, God, if I could just see your mighty power come down. If I just had a certain amount of money, I could buy the Shull's boat, or, you know, finish paying to get the airplane over to Cameroon, or, you know, build those churches in Haiti, those two churches that are waiting to be built. And so we're always, you know, looking ahead, wanting this, wanting that. But just to know him, as Luke and Sarah began their marriage, and soon Jared and Megan, you know, I can remember when Sandy and I were in that point, and we had nothing, really, nothing. But you know what? That did not take away from the excitement of the wedding one little bit. You know, we had a mobile home, an old mobile home that we had. When I bought it, it was filthy. We had to tear out all the floor coverings and grease, you know, in the kitchen on the walls, and it was horrible shape. But when we got married, you know, we didn't go from the wedding like, moping, you know. Oh, we don't have a nice home to go to, you know. That was the least concern, you know. And it reminds me of this. God says, verse 24, let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's the greatest thing. All these other things pass away. Brother Tim has had some great messages on material things at the nursing homes, and it's so true. What is all of these material things? They all pass away, but we know him. We're not condemned. Our property someday may be condemned, you know, whether it's because of a storm passing through and knocking it down or just falling down. I mean, as we're out witnessing, we come up to some homes that probably should be condemned. I can recall one home. Well, we had kind of a surprise yesterday with the float, opening it up. I had pulled the tarps up earlier, and I looked at the sides. They thought it looked good, and I peeked inside, and I didn't see any problem. It looked fairly clean, but they got the tarps off yesterday and discovered on one side there was mold growing. The cover had started leaking, and I knew it had some holes in it. And so, you know, at first it was like, oh, no, you know, the float is condemned. You know, it has some problems, but so carpet cleaner and spraying, and trying to wipe off that mold and get it clean, and now trying to do a quick rebuild job on it before the next parade, if we can, Lord willing. But you know what? God brought us through, and it was a joy to be able to get out the gospel. So just to know him. You know, when Jesus came here to the earth, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, and so many times he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and in the morning, early in the morning, he'd be in the temple. It reminded me of Brother Andrew being through this survival camp for 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it was. And so he talked about some of these nights he had to lay out on the ground and sleep. And sometimes they would go and have like hammocks, or I don't know if they had to make their own things. I don't know. But so they were out in the open air a lot of times sleeping. And somebody asked him the question if they had any problems with ticks. And so he told you, yeah, I had to pull off some of those big ticks, and then some of these little tiny ones, he said, that are like the size of a period on a page. And I'm thinking, wow, how would you even see them, you know, that small? And so the situation with that, and you think with Jesus, he didn't have a place to lay his head. And so many nights, I don't know how many nights of his life on earth here in his earthly body, he slept out under the stars. And it was kind of like, you know, when he came to earth, there was no room for them in the inn. At his birth, there was no room. And in his life, there was no room many times. People did not invite him in. But just to know him. How often do we think of that? So as we go back to Romans chapter 8, when we think, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. To know him. To know him and love him should bring more joy to us than any amount of things. And then it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's one thing to know him, and then it's another thing to walk with him, isn't it? We may know people, but we don't necessarily walk with them. Notice in, Amos. My mind is a little foggy this morning for some reason. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Amos 3:3. Well, actually, let's look, start in verse 2. The Lord says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two what? Walk together except what? They be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Brother Needham sent me a picture when they had their anniversary, their 50th anniversary out there in Iowa. Their children put on that for them. And they were out there in the corn. Well, the corn was, I don't know if it was quite waist high. But of course, with Brother Needham, his waist would be higher than some of our waists. He's a tall guy. But someone took their picture. Brother Needham and his wife was standing out in a cornfield and snapped their picture. And they were standing in the corn. And I don't know if all of you know it or remember it, but Brother Needham was a farmer before God called him to be a missionary. In fact, I think he still owns a farm out there that I think he rents out or something. But anyway, so he's out there, and he and his wife are standing in the corn, and of course, he looks like Goliath, you know, in relation to his wife. He is tall. I don't know how tall he is. I don't know how tall his wife, but he looked huge. But that wasn't my focus. My focus was, as I was looking at them in a cornfield, and I'm thinking, you know what? That is their life. It's fruit for the Lord. That is their life. And I wrote and told him that. I said, you know, I says, I see all that corn, and I think of all, you know, the planting of those seeds. And I said, but I think of one day when you and your wife are in heaven, just I think of all the fruit. And you know what? And you have the same thing. You know, when you feed a prophet, when you give a prophet something to drink, you are going to receive the prophet's reward. And so just think, you know, all of the times that you've helped out the Needhams with one cause or another, have prayed for the Needhams and all of our missionaries. That's going to be a prophet's reward as well. And so we just think, can two walk together except they be agreed? Isn't it wonderful to walk with the Lord? And it's wonderful to think about all that he's going to do. So back in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's what we want to do. Notice in Galatians 5:16. We want a oneness with him. We want to walk with him in harmony. I think I mentioned it to you, but there was a congressional staffer that decided he was going to play the part of the FBI at one of the rallies. President Trump was holding a rally somewhere, and, well, actually, it was in Washington, D.C. is where it was. But so this staffer had a car similar to what the policemen have there, and with spotlight on and things like that. And so he had this fake license plate made for him, for his car. And so he goes out with an FBI T-shirt on, and so he's wearing his gun, which was illegal for him to do in Washington, D.C. But so he's pretending, but two Secret Service agents, which were like dressed normal, just kind of be like undercover, not in uniform. And so they're looking at him, and they're looking. One thing they mentioned was just his gun. He had his two clips of ammunition behind his gun instead of in front of it, what normal officers wear it. That's what those officers wear it anyway, because if they need it, then it's closer rather than further away to try to grab them. And so they were looking at how he had his AMO, and they just thought, you know, something about him doesn't quite look right. And they check in with the secret, with their officers or higher ups in the Secret Service, and is there any other federal officers that are supposed to be, you know, right here? And no. And so this pretender got in his car and took off. So something about his walk, something about his look, didn't look quite right. But in Galatians 5 and 16, it says, "This I say, walk in what? The Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, our official position is not condemned, but we don't want to walk in sin, do we? That just ruins our fellowship, and we'll have to close with this, but let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It destroys our fellowship. That imposter there, people had actually said to him, "Thank you for your service." I mean, they're looking at this imposter, you know, "Thank you for your bravery, you know, of being a police officer." And all the time, he's not one of them. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in what? The light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So it's just, isn't the fellowship wonderful with Christ? It's wonderful. And I just pray that God could use us to show this lost world that there's something better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fellowship we can have with you. Lord, please forgive us when our minds are always so thinking ahead on everything that we just often fail to just stop and enjoy what you've done for us. Just to enjoy that we know you. We're always thinking ahead and asking you for this or that. And Lord, help us to pause and just rejoice that we know you personally as our Savior. So Lord, please take us and use us. Lord, please give us the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next